Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
And welcome to the MMA Fan Show. I am Blake Harrison. Joining me as always is Stuart Weffan. How are you, mate?
Longest one to date.
Longest one to date. Did you like the ending as well?
It was quite nice. Yeah, it almost felt a bit raspy towards the end.
I'm feeling quite manly today, that's what it is. Feeling very Axl Rose in his heyday.
That sounded like a cat.
That's what Axl Rose sounds like. Knock, knock, knocking down heaven's door.
Meow, meow, meow.
That's what he does. He sounds like a cat. Are we going to get sued for singing Knock on Heaven's Door? I don't know.
Maybe. Bob Dylan's lawyers, leave us alone. We're just having
a
little sing song. It's originally with Bob Dylan.
There you go. Well, welcome to the music fan show. And cats, obviously.
Well, this is a news episode today. We just thought that, we've got a guest turning up at the studio in a couple of hours. But before that, we thought we'd jump on and have a bit of a catch-up. Because there's been lots of stuff sort of going on in the world of MMA. So we thought we'd do a little catch-up show. Before we do anything, we should shout out our sponsors, ferociousfightwear.com. If you're watching this, you can see the lovely garments on our presenting table. There's gum shields, there's ham wraps, rash guards, shorts. There's loads of other stuff on the website. Go check them out. There'll be at the Cage Warriors Academy show. They're one of the sponsors of the Cage Warriors show as well. So if you find yourself getting down to there, go say hello because they're a wonderful little team and we're proud to have them on board as a sponsor. FerociousFightwear.com. What did we want to talk about first today?
Oh, well, I thought you had organised your pictures. You'd done your little picture thing.
I have.
You have, you've organised them. Well, I suppose maybe it's more important to talk about what happened this weekend. Is that the best thing
to talk
about?
I guess.
So, Rose Namajunas got her first win at flyweight over Amanda Ribas. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the fight? What did you think of it?
I did watch the fight. I didn't think it was very good. I think Rose showed some very good technical work, which we know that's what she does. It felt Ribas was more aggressive in her style, was pushing forwards a lot, but I think Rosie's footwork and counter-striking was probably more precise. Did you score it to Rose? Because
I wasn't really scoring it. It was one of those ones where I didn't expect her to talk about the fight, if I'm perfectly honest. So I didn't watch it other than what I did watch it, but I watched it more just like as a fan watching it. I wasn't really actively scoring it. And I do feel like it's two different mindsets. There's some fights I watch that I know we're talking about and I'm actively there going that moment's high scoring, that, you know, the accumulation of this matches with that or whatever it is. With this, I wasn't really doing that. But I felt like it was a close fight, but yeah, I had no problems with it going to Rose. I think Rose probably was the right decision. I don't think I would have kicked up much of a fuss if it had gone to Ribas, but I might have been surprised.
I'd agree completely with that. Yeah. That's exactly how I saw it. I mean, I don't think Rose sent a message to that division that she's a force to be reckoned with.
I think, and I think that's the most important thing. It's coming out of it. Rose will probably be ranked eighth, so well, she'll be in the top ten.
She said that she wants the... Potentially, did she say the winner?
The winner of Blanchfield Furo.
I think loser.
Right, so for me, I'm like, you're Rose Namajunas, you're always going to be just very close to a title shot. So I think it does make sense for her. So here's the thing, flyweight division, which is, this is the more interesting thing to talk about coming off of the back of that. And there's something else that is way more interesting to talk about from what happened on that fight card. But in terms of Rose and the flyweight division, you've got, I think, a bit of a logjam in that division. You've got a situation where Shevchenko's going to be fighting Amanda Grosso for the third time after coaching the Ultimate Fighter. So it's going to be a long way off before they actually fight each other. Then maybe the winner of that, whoever the champ is going to need 4, 5, 6 months before they fight again. So Erin Blanchfield is fighting Manon Fiorot this Saturday night.
And the winner of that surely gets the title shot.
Exactly. However, does the winner of that, I think Blanchfield, but does the winner of that want to wait until January? To fight for the belt? It's a long way off. So if Furo wins, then it's a bit tricky because why does Manon Furo rematch Rose Namajunas?
She's after got the
win. She just beat her like 6 months ago or whatever it was. Like, no point. That's a non-starter for me. That's never, that should not happen. But if Erin Blanchfield wins, surely as a young fighter, she wants to remain active. Rose, as you say, obviously very dangerous. Obviously a fantastic striker, very, very well-rounded fighter. But do you look at Rose and go, oh, like, I would say Blanchfield's favourite in that fight, is what I'm saying. And I think that if you're Erin Blanchfield, you're due a title shot next, it would make sense to wait. However, if you're a young fighter and you want to remain active, I think fighting Rose in October, November, something like that, or even like September, something like that, is actually not a bad thing for her to get such a huge name under her belt. Win that fight, keep active, and then come January, February, or whenever a title fight could happen for her, then she's got that there. But obviously, it's always a risk to fight someone else before your title shot.
Where's Macy Barber ranked?
Macy Barber is ranked fourth.
Rose Macy Barber?
Rose Macy Barber makes... That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. But I think that's a sellable fight as well.
It's a sellable fight. Any fight with Rose is a sellable fight, I think. But I just think that I can understand why Blanchfield would go, oh, I don't want to wait 8, 9 months for my next fight. Even though it's for the belt, I want to have a fight in between. And Rose makes perfect sense. But for Furo, no, not to. If you're Furo and you win against Blanchfield, you just sit and wait.
Yeah.
Just sit and wait. You've earned that title shot, you sit and wait.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe Blanchfield might feel slightly differently, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I know you've been chomping at the bit to talk about this next item.
Oh, mate. There we go. That is, you can't really see it on this. It looks like just kind of a belly to back kind of potential takedown situation here. But what's happening is we've got, is it Igor Severino against Andre Lima? If you haven't seen this, it was on the Fight Pass prelims. And it is the first ever time that a fighter in the UFC has been disqualified for biting. Look at the state of that. And what's mad about this is both these guys going into this fight, coming off the Contender Series, both undefeated. I think Andre Lima, who got bitten, is the is about 7-0. Or now 8-0 because of disqualification. And Igor Severino was 8-0 before this. This is their UFC debuts after the Contender Series fight. It was a competitive fight. I was scoring it slightly for Lima, thinking he was winning it. But I didn't think there was much in it. There was a lot going on here that both guys had good moments. So what compelled him to bite him in that position, in that situation? I have no idea. And you can just see, if Chris goes to the wide here, like the indentation on his arm from that bite is absolutely horrendous. He had a mouth guard in.
I know, that's the thing.
And he had a mouth guard in. It's unbelievable. And it's so stupid. I just don't understand what was going through his head. As a result of this bite, obviously disqualification, Igor Severino has been immediately cut from the UFC. What a a stupid boy.
I mean, it just makes no sense. It's like, did you think you're going to get away with... I mean, when you see the indentation, like, he's bitten into that with everything.
Yeah.
And did you think he was going to get away with that?
From a relatively neutral position.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was losing the fight terribly. It's like, I mean, obviously, like, there's horrendous situations, like, let us not forget Mike Tyson and, you know, Evander Holyfield, which was even more horrendous, obviously. But, like, that's absolutely disgusting. But I can sort of go, well, he was losing that fight. He's clearly a guy with a lot of issues anyway. He went a bit mad and did it. In this, the guy wasn't even, like, really losing the fight. It was sort of 50-50. I think Andre was winning it. So Igor was losing. The biter was losing.
He's completely fucked his career.
I mean, well, as I say, you look at Mike Tyson and you go, this man, despite biting off Evander Holyfield's ear in the middle of the ring in front of millions of people across the world, and despite some of the other convictions he's had as well, seems to be one of the most beloved men in combat sports in this day and age. So you can, I kind of think the world of combat sports is a world that you can come back from almost anything.
But there's a difference from coming back from being, you know, the youngest heavyweight champion ever with probably the greatest highlight reel of any heavyweight boxer, you know, a legit superstar. You've not got as far to come back from as if you're making your UFC debut, where no one essentially knows who you are.
Now they do.
And now they do, but for all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure at some point this will be used as some kind of marketing tool for the UFC as they bring him back to fight the winner of Tyson Paul.
Well, I mean, but it's already being used as a marketing tool by Andre Lima. Which is amazing.
I mean, the tattoo genius.
Have you got the picture of that?
I haven't, no. Oh, I couldn't find it.
So, Andre Lima, I think I sent it to you. Go on the telegrams, and I'm sure I sent you the tattoo image. But Andre Lima was offered 25K. He got the bite of the night bonus. And for 25K, Dana White was going to give him 25K for this. And Andre Lima went straight out and got the bite marks tattooed onto his arm with the writing, "I've got bite of the night bonus," on his arm as well. And Dana White saw that, thought it was awesome. He put it on his Instagram stories and stuff, and he thought it was awesome, and upped his bonus to 50K.
I mean, it couldn't have gone any better for him, could it?
I mean, in a lot of ways, no, it couldn't have gone any better.
I'm sure
his
social media has gone through the roof after Dana sharing that.
Yeah.
He's now got 50 Gs and a new tattoo.
New tattoo, 50 Gs.
And everybody knows his name.
Yes. Oh, this is. I really want us to pull it up. Can we put?
I can't find the. I'm gonna have to. Pull
if I forward it to you again, because I feel like it's worth it.
Okay.
It's on. Can you not pull up Telegram?
Okay, let's have a little look what we got here.
There you go. Go up. Go up. Go up. Sorry, this is boring for anyone just listening.
there we go.
If we can click on... I don't know if we can click on that or enlarge that. There we go. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can hopefully now see I got the... Is it the fucking bit bonus?
I got fucking bit bonus.
Yeah, and the actual indentation's tattooed on his arm, and Dana White's Instagram here saying, "I was going to give him 25K, now I'm going to give him 50 because this is awesome." I mean, what a thing to do, to go and get someone else's bite marks on your arm tattooed.
Marketing genius.
Marketing genius. Everyone's going to know who this guy is now. People are talking about him, and he was just on his UFC debut. Fantastic stuff for him. Shall we move on to other news? Right, so we've pulled up here a picture, again, if you're watching on YouTube, of Conor McGregor alongside Jake Gyllenhaal, because Conor McGregor's had done his press for Roadhouse that has come out now. I haven't seen the movie. Have you seen it?
I watched 45 minutes of it.
Okay, because you fell asleep only 45 minutes? Or
no,
because
I just,
you
after 45 minutes, I started Googling how I could get 45 minutes of my life back. because... he's fucking terrible.
The trailer looked really good.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer looked fun.
Yeah. Look, I'm of an age where I was probably maybe 15, 16 when Roadhouse come out.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking it was great when it come out.
Yeah. Are you judging this by, like, unfair standards?
No, no, because I went back and watched the original maybe 10 years ago. And it's one of them films that you remember being really cool, and then you watch it and you go, oh, no, it's actually really bad. There's a huge fat guy that gets taken out by a stuffed bear. So I think that gives you the sort of measure of the original.
Yeah. Sounds great.
And I can't work out with the new Roadhouse whether they're trying to go, shall we be a bit shit like the original, or if it's just a bit shit. Now, I think Jake Gyllenhaal is a fucking incredible actor and has made some absolutely outstanding films. Artu's not a good actor. That guy there. It's really bad. It's really bad. I don't know if Conor McGregor fans are going to love it. I'm sure the fact that it's on Prime, you can watch it for free if you've got a Prime subscription, it's going to be huge. But it's absolute toilet.
Right, well, you've sold it to me. I'm definitely going to be watching it. But there's a couple of things with Conor. So he did a bunch of interviews in press for Roadhouse. And... at first, it all seemed great. He was saying he was wanting to fight twice this year, that he's going to be fighting in maybe late summer, and then he wants to fight again, talking about he would have loved to have fought Nate Diaz at the Sphere. He thinks that would work really well, but it looks like it's probably going to be Michael Chandler. Like, given the amount of times that Conor has said things about coming back, given that... it seems sometimes maybe the UFC didn't want him to fight. If we go back to the pandemic era where Conor really wanted to fight a variety of people, including Diego Sanchez at one point, the UFC just didn't want him to fight because the arenas weren't going to be able to be full and all that kind of stuff. What is the likelihood, do you think, honestly, of Conor McGregor fighting this year? And then do you think... no, go on. Answer me that question. Do you think Conor fights this year?
Not in a million years.
Really? You don't think he fights at all this year?
No. I'd be surprised if we ever see him fight again. I just don't.
Wow.
I'm just so bored of it. I'm so bored of every event calling people out and just keeping the... he's got such a diehard following that worship everything he does and says. You know, I think he's pretty... any listeners to this will be aware that kind of shit sailed for me a long time ago. I was a huge Conor fan when he was on his route to winning, and I'm just bored of all that. I'm going to fight him, I'm going to beat him. When the whole face-off thing happened with Michael Chandler, I thought, right, this is it. We're going to happen. And then it's just disappeared. And I do feel sorry for Chandler, because I think the very big fucking... payout carrot was dangled in front of him, and he must be thinking, this is my retirement fight here easily. Like, here's my... I can sail off into the sunset on what I'm going to earn when I earn Conor dollars. And it ain't happened. And I just think, Nate Diaz, does anyone want to see that again? I'm not that bothered. Do you?
Yeah, Nate, you got to do the trilogy.
Well, I've seen Nick Diaz on the socials yesterday, working the bag, saying he wants some. So I don't know... I mean, that would be surreal, and I don't think anyone...
I'm not overly interested in Nick, if I'm honest, but Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor is, I think, a very competitive fight. I think I would favour Nate. And I think that would be fun. I'd be all over that.
But what weight?
170. Complete the trilogy where it was originally done. Like, it's all a 170 thing. I would be all over Nate v. Conor. I'd be way more interested in that than Conor v. Chandler, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Do you think
he's going to fight?
I'm leaning towards him fighting this year. But the one thing that slightly concerned me that we haven't touched on yet was the interview he did with Jake. You'd have to go and find it. I don't think we've got it. But, like, he doesn't seem quite right. And him and Jake Gyllenhaal are having an interview. I don't know with what kind of outlet they're interviewing with. But Conor is talking, but he's constantly blinking and moving his shoulders. He's like constantly like talking and doing these kind of like twitches. And it makes you think that he's not... I don't know whether that's due to him taking something. I don't know whether that's due to... I don't know, some kind of stress. I mean, the thing with these kind of like press tours for movies and stuff, people don't realise. I mean, Simon Pegg was on, I think like Graham Norton or something like that. And he was like, when I get paid good money to do a film, I think that's my money for doing the press.
Mm.
Because filming can be 16, 17 hour days and stuff like that. And it can get quite relentless, particularly when you're filming in American projects. They have... they ask much more of you than what the British do. We have, I think, maybe like slightly more regimented kind of rules on like times to film and stuff like that. But Simon Pegg said that
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Gets paid good money. It's for the press, because the press is like, you're traveling from this city to that city, from this country to that country, answering the same questions constantly, and it gets very monotonous very, very quickly, and also it's very tiring. People don't realize that actually, and again, I'm not comparing it to like a 12, 16 hour day of like manual labor, but it is more tiring than what you realize, I think, from the outside looking in. So maybe he's just sleep deprived and all that stuff, but I think there was a lot of talk on the socials that he was probably had taken something, and that obviously makes you go, well, how's that going to go with, well, it's not USADA anymore, but like drug testing and stuff like that, although he seems to be the most tested athlete around at the moment.
Look,
It was concerning seeing him in that state on TV being interviewed, and it does make you think this guy's not going to be in a training camp anytime soon, but I'm hoping that he will be.
It might have just been the stress of having to watch Roadhouse. Right. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah. Dana White with a big bag of money. So the UFC class action lawsuit.
Right. Now, listen, with this, you've sent over some notes here that you want to talk about, yeah? And I see some stuff about this. And I've not had loads of time to really look into it. Can you sort of paint a bit of a picture as to what this is for listeners that may not also know?
You did this to me last time, and the caveat is, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. but I have tried to research as best I can, and I have listened to a bunch of other podcasts and different things that have talked about this kind of thing.
Mm.
So it seems like a multitude of fighters, the named fighters of which were John Fitch and Kung Lee, if you remember them from UFC, and obviously John Fitch from Bellator and stuff as well. They took the UFC to court with a class action lawsuit. And I think what class action is meaning that basically 1,200 fighters, even though they weren't active participants in this lawsuit, are sort of drafted in as people that could benefit from it and people that the lawyers are fighting on behalf of, because they were quote unquote potential victims of the UFC's business practices. I think that's kind of what the lawsuit was trying to say, that between the years of like, I don't know, 2006 to 2016 or something like that, every single fighter that's fought for the UFC was underpaid and didn't have a chance of earning a proper wage that they should have been able to, because the UFC had a monopsony on the business, which means that they were commanding all of the demand for the sport, or i.e. the fighters. So they were saying that the competition was not enough. The UFC bought up a lot of their competition. You think back to Strikeforce, Pride, things like that. Was it WEC, whatever? The UFC bought all of those up. Zuffa bought all of those properties up. So when a fighter had a choice of four fight organizations to go and fight for, now they only have like one or two, or something like that. So that was the idea, was that they were being underpaid and the contracts were not fair because of the UFC's ability to have bought up all these rival organizations and stuff like that. So the original amount that could have been paid by the UFC was anything between, estimated as anything between $800 million or $1.6 billion. Huge sums of money for the UFC to pay. And that would have been divided up between the 1,200 fighters that were listed in the class action lawsuit, unless some of them decided they didn't want to get involved in it because maybe they were too close to the UFC. Also, it is worth noting that what I've heard is as of 2017, there was something in UFC fighter contracts saying that if you're fighting for the UFC, you're also signing a waiver that you are not part of the class action lawsuit. So any fighter joining the UFC or maybe even re-signing with the UFC, I'm not exactly sure how that works, was signing a waiver saying I will not be part of the class action lawsuit. So that obviously limits the amount of expenditure they would have to do, the amount of fighters that can join the class action lawsuit.
That's grotty, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it all enough. It doesn't sound great, but maybe that's the type of business practices that any big business would do in this situation. So I just don't know. And so what has happened is the lawsuit has been settled out of court. It was going to court. It was just about to go to court. And the things with it going to court, I'm going to say this in a minute, actually. The lawsuit was settled for $335 million. Sounds like an awful lot of money.
Divided by?
Well, yeah, divided by the 1,200, unless, also not to mention the lawyer fees. So the people that are representing the plaintiffs, would it be, I think, who are the fighters, Kung Lee, John Fitch, and the 1,200, they would be taking, I would have thought, a huge chunk of that money. So the lawyers are loving it, I'm sure. They're, you know, so they take a huge chunk. Then the rest is divided out to the fighters. And the UFC, in a lot of people's eyes, have done very, very well out of this deal because of a few things. One, had it gone to court, there was already stuff that came out about conversations between Dana White and John Jones, about people's contracts, about the UFC are very shielding unless they're in a athletic commission area where they have to reveal fight purses. I think like California might be one of those, then they can just withhold that. And so no one knows what each other's being paid. So when fighters are going in to renegotiate their contracts, they can't say, oh, well, this person's on this money, or that person's on that money, so you should pay me X. They can't do that because they don't know what other people are being paid. So stuff like that was already sort of coming out a little bit during the lawsuit. And now that that hasn't gone to court properly, it means that UFC can keep a lot of stuff behind the scenes. It means also that what a lot of the concern was about, I think, for the UFC was contracts. So there was a lot of talk of fighters being able to, or not being able to get out of their contracts easily enough. We've seen it with Nate Diaz. We've seen it with Francis Ngannou. And there's a lot of talk of, had this lawsuit gone through, then the contracts may have been something that was put under the microscope and there would have been rules and laws put in place to change the way they do their contracts. That's now, I think, not going to be the case. So the UFC can keep putting out the same kind of contracts that they've been doing previously.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And I'm trying to think what else there is. I'm kind of just rambling now. But is there anything you want to know about this situation?
I mean, it's, what you said is kind of sort of told me a little bit more about it than what I knew. I mean, as you say, I think big corporations want everything locked down and they want to have sole control and, like you say, that monopoly of owning all the organisations. So basically you've got nowhere else to go. And they're still, you know, they've put themselves in a position where, yes, there's the PFL and and Bellator and ONE and all of that, but...
Well, now there's just PFL.
The hybrid,
Bellator doesn't exist technically.
Yeah. But ultimately, you know, how many fighters have we spoke to that say, oh, I just want to fight in the UFC?
Yeah.
Like,
because of what they've done.
It's the premiership.
Yeah, that's it. And that's down to their good work as well. However, before we go on, I just think there's two other points that are important. One, the TKO group who own the UFC and obviously WWE and stuff like that, their stock prices and all that kind of stuff apparently skyrocketed. They went up after the announcement of the lawsuit being settled. So it's just clearly a huge burden on their shoulders. I think they took a hit with Vince McMahon having all of his kind of the dodgy stuff about him coming out. And if you don't know about that, you'll have to Google that. But then this lawsuit was something pulling down the price of the TKO stock because they're a public company, pulling down those shares. Now that it's been settled, now that it's been settled for a sum of money massively lower than what was they were probably worried about spending, that means that their stock prices now have gone up. And also what I've heard, and I don't fully understand why, it's tax deductible. So the $335 million that they are paying to the fighters is tax deductible. Now, I don't know exactly how the American tax system works, but my understanding of tax deductible in the UK is that when you claim something on tax, 40% of that, the government go, oh, okay, don't worry about 40%, but you still got to pay for 60% of it or whatever. So you get almost like, it's almost like having a rebate of 40%.
Yeah.
Again, I am not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. I may be getting some of this wrong, but that's my understanding of the UK tax system, unless you are someone with some dodgy lawyers and you're paying 1% tax like certain comedians and musicians have done in the past, naming no names. But that is... It doesn't sound great.
No.
I'm assuming, and again, I might be wrong about this, but if that was said in the UK, you think of the bloody Prince Andrew stuff and all that 12 million quid being paid out, and wasn't that partly paid by the taxpayer, if not all paid by the taxpayer or something like that? It's not right. It's not right when huge corporations or people do awful things or bad things or whatever it is, and then the taxpayers bail them out.
Unfortunately,
it's not great.
It's the way it always has been, and I'm sure it's the way it always will be.
Western world, I don't know. Yeah. So it's not great. But anyway, let's move on from legal nonsense and move on to something a bit more fun. I mean, it's controversial to a lot of people. UFC 301 At the moment, there's no headliner been officially announced, but it looks like the front runner to be headliner is Alejandro Pantoja, defending his flyweight title, not against Mohamed Makhachev, not against Brandon Royval, but against Steve Carell lookalike and a man after my own heart, Steve Astro Boy Ursig. Yes! I love it. I'm a big fan of Steve Ursig.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It took a lot of people by surprise, this announcement. Steve Ursig's only ranked like 10th or something like that. He's only had 3 fights in the UFC, but MMA is a crazy sport. And the dominoes have fallen in a way that has led to this moment in time. And it's meant that, you know, Brandon Moreno got beat by Brandon Royval, who only got beat by Pantoja in a title fight a few months prior. So both those guys can't be in the title fight. Manel Kapp keeps missing weight. They're not going to put him in it. Amir Albazi was meant to fight Brandon Moreno, but got injured. That's when Brandon Royval stepped in. So he's not really going to fight. Mohamed Makhachev just came off a win, and Steve Ursig just came off a win.
Right, let's talk about them wins.
Well, you go, yeah.
Right, because Makhachev's was all right.
Yeah.
Fight before that, was all right. Fight before that, that was all right. Steve Ursig's last fight, fuck me, what a finish.
What a
finish. And we know how Dana operates. You know, someone puts in something spectacular, it pays you what? It pays you back massively. And I think, understandably, Mohamed Makhachev, he's pissed at this. You know, I think his record shows he should be up there getting close to, if not the shot.
Well, let's just put his record into...
Sorry, I've got to get rid of prison mic because it's making me laugh.
Let's put Mohamed Makhachev's record into perspective here. Mm. He's had 6 fights in the UFC. Steve Ursig's only had 3.
Yeah.
Mohamed Makhachev, out of those 6 fights, has finished 4 of his opponents. Mm. Finished 4 of them.
Mm.
Steve Ursig, in 3 fights, has got 2 decisions, the same as Mohamed Makhachev, who's had double the amount.
Mm.
I think if you're Mohamed Makhachev, you can be really disheartened by this.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not hating on Mohamed Makhachev. I know that on this show, sometimes I've just... Because I bought into it, you know?
Yeah.
He's a UK fighter, so it's... You know, we're obviously behind him, and... But I've just... found his fights to be a little underwhelming.
Even with the finishes, you have been sort of bored by his fight style over it. I mean, he was electric in that debut against Cody Durden.
Unbelievable.
Really brilliant.
Unbelievable. But, as it's gone on, I mean, you know, it would have been great to have seen the youngest, you know, him to get the shot at such a young age. It would have been fantastic. But
I think he still would have missed John Jones's record.
Right, okay.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he still would have been... I think the youngest champion on the roster and one of the youngest champions ever.
Like, you know, and I think he's an interesting dude. And he's clearly, you know, a fantastic fighter. When I saw that Ursig was going to get the shot, I was like, wow. Like, I did not see that coming. And the first thing I'd done was went over to Mohamed Makhachev's socials to sort of see what he'd said. And rightly so. I think, you know... I just think it comes down to that finish in his last fight and Mohamed Makhachev's last fight not being that exciting. And I think if you're going to sell a potential headline fight against Pantoja, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Ursig's... highlight reel is in organisations before the UFC, but you've got that one knockout to show,
And it was a good knockout.
It was.
And it's in everyone's brains. It's so recent.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that he does look so much like Steve Carell, he's got a little bit of the Ryan Halls about him, and he just looks very unassuming.
Yeah.
And
they're my favourite fighters.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ones that you just go, you're a fighter?
Yeah.
And then he absolutely smashes something like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. So, you know, what an opportunity for him to go and get that title shot. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I don't know what is next for Muhammad Makhachev. I mean, maybe, you know, if Usyk beats Pantoja.
He's had beef with Brandon Royval.
Mm.
Would make sense to make that fight, Royval versus Makhachev. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think it'd be good to see
July in Manchester.
Makhachev fighting that higher regions 100%. Of the division, you know, some people that, like your Roy Valjean Moreno, some people that have been in and around the peak of that division for a long time. I think that'd be a good thing. But
I think Roy Val's the fight to make. I mean, there's been a little bit of beef there. They're both on, you know, well, not win streaks because Roy Val's only got one, but, you know, they're both good fighters. Makhachev deserves a shot at that higher echelon of the division.
Yeah.
And Royval just needs to get maybe one more win before you can go, okay, I don't mind seeing you rematch Pantoja or whatever.
See, I agree with all of that. But for me, I think Makhachev must have thought, well, yeah, that you know, if you have said that to him, that makes sense. But then when you get this announcement of this fight, you can see why he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, why has that happened?
Should we move on to one more item on UFC 301? The return of the King of Rio.
Yeah,
he's going to be back in Rio. Jose Aldo Jr.
Yeah.
How did you feel when this fight was announced? Were you shocked? I thought Jose was done.
I mean, I saw him, you know, that when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame was beautiful. And, you know, everybody loves Jose. He's an absolute, you know. Arguably, is he the greatest in his division ever? He's up him or Volk, they're up there, aren't they?
Yeah. And, if you're including WEC days, then the longevity of him being a champion, you would say it is Aldo.
Yeah, and, you know, what's not to love about that man? He just seems like the coolest guy on the planet, and just his fight style was just absolutely fantastic and enthralling to watch. And he's back. I don't know. I don't know why he's back. Has he made a statement as to why he's coming back?
I haven't seen it. I mean, that's something I'd be interested
in. When did he retire? Because for me, it feels like less than a year ago. But is it one of them things when you look at the dates, it's like, oh, that was 4 years ago? And like, I'm sure.
I'll have to pull it up.
I'm sure that was.
He retired after the Marab fight in like Salt Lake City or whatever it was, wasn't it? Which also, I don't know if this has been playing on my brain. I checked the YouTube comments on our Reese McKee episode. We interviewed Reese McKee recently. And he's fighting this weekend in Atlantic City. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'm sure that's like a Mormon stronghold, Atlantic City. And someone's like, no, the Mormons would hate it there and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, nice, Salt Lake City. So I made an absolute idiot of myself on that. But it was Salt Lake City that Jose Aldo, I believe, was fighting Marab because it was up in high altitude. And I remember thinking, why have they given Jose, who could have got a title shot at that time?
He was doing really well. It was looking like it was going to happen, didn't it?
And then they gave him Marab and you were like, what the hell? Mm. Oh, he's had some boxing fights since leaving the UFC. But yeah, he was on a 3-fight win streak. He beat Cheeto, he beat Munoz, he beat Rob Font. Then they gave him Marab in Salt Lake City, the famous night where Headshot Dead was coined by Leon Edwards.
Are you pleased to see him back?
I'm pleased to see him back. Who doesn't love Jose Aldo? But I always like to see fighters go out in a when they're still good, you know. Jonathan Martinez, who he's up against, is no joke.
Mm.
He's a really, really good fighter. He's on a 6-fight win streak. Last loss was to Davy Grant, our boy, who we've also got an interview out with. Check that one out.
Get well soon, Davy Grant. Had surgery on his neck.
Oh, like, Jesus. So, look, get well, Davy. And Jonathan Martinez, last loss was to Davy Grant. He's ranked 14th at the moment. He's got wins over Saeed Nurmagomedov, who I'm a huge fan of. Wins over Adrian Yanez. And Cub Swanson. So this is a really good fighter, dangerous fighter, young fighter, good striker, throws good low kicks. Another guy throws good low kicks, Jose Aldo.
Oh, he's the master, mate.
So, I mean, this is going to be hopefully a fun fight. Is Aldo just coming back because it's Rio? They're doing a card in Rio. He's the king of Rio. Is this the kind of goodbye that he should have got? Not Marab in Salt Lake City, but another guy that maybe he's got a chance of beating. He can put the gloves down and the home crowd in Rio. That'll be a retirement to just for the ages. That'll rival Robbie Lawler, if not surpass Robbie Lawler. If he can beat Jonathan Martinez in the octagon, in Rio, put the gloves down to this huge standing ovation, it'll be a beautiful moment. It really will.
That will be absolutely glorious. And who wouldn't want to see that? I mean, hometown, I mean, you've got a favour, Jose, right? I mean, that would be just so fitting to everything you just described there. I got a few little goosebumps as you were saying it. I think that would be wonderful to see. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't like he was looking like a tired old fighter, and you know, it wasn't like everyone was going, "Oh mate, I wish he'd just retire." You know,
no, not
like
at all.
He
could have had a title shot.
The names that you rattled off before Marab, you know, absolute killers. So yeah, I'm pleased to see him back, and I'm pleased to see him hopefully get that win in Rio and potentially put his gloves down there and get that absolutely beautiful moment.
Does it make you excited for UFC 301? I mean, look, we've had UFC 298, UFC 299, and UFC 300. They were stacked cards. Mm. There's got to be a drop-off just because the fighters they've used is so good. There's got to be a drop-off at some point. UFC 301 currently, with the return of Jose Aldo, with a main event of Pantoja versus Steve Ursig, and other fights on the main card like Paul Craig, Carl Baraglio, Anthony Smith, Vitor Petrino, Michelle Pereira versus Mahmoud Muradov. How excited are you right now for that card? Did they need to add Aldo? Do they still need something way more? Are they hoping Alex Pereira smashes Jamal Hill in a round and can fight someone else really quickly at 301? What are your thoughts?
I don't see that happening.
No?
But I think if you add Aldo to that card, it supercharges it a bit. But I think with 299 and 300, we have been really spoiled.
We have been.
And 298 was great as well. I think there have been absolute stacked cards. And I guess there's only so many premium fighters, you know, out there. And so something's got to give somewhere. And it's not like there's no cards between, you know, 298 and 301. You know, there's obviously your 299 and 300 as discussed, but there's also been cards every week.
Yeah.
And
it's fair to say the standard of those cards has been not the best.
I mean, obviously, we've
let's be honest, without a guy biting another human being, I was not interested in talking about this weekend's card just gone.
Well, I would shout out a friend of the show. Oh.
Mick Parkin, who got a big win.
Stays undefeated. Over
Muhammad Usman. Yeah.
So, continue that role, Big Mick. Aside from that, and the fact that it was marketed as Thug Rose, but as we touched on at the beginning of the night, it wasn't the most exciting fight.
No.
But I'd rather there be an average card than there be no card. Because it gives us something to bang on about.
Yeah.
And it gives me something to watch on a Sunday morning.
Perfect.
I wouldn't be staying up for it.
No, I wouldn't be staying up. I think I might have to stay up for 300, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what we're going to do. We've got to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what yet, but let us know. Get commenting. Let us know what you'd like to see us do for 300. Some kind of watch-along. I don't know. We're up for ideas because...
Because we're like, devoid of ideas.
Yeah, we're empty.
We're intellectually bankrupt.
Yeah. So, yeah, anything you can think of, let us know. Get commenting. We should once again thank our sponsors, Ferocious Fightwear. I think that's pretty much all she's wrote. We need to go and download the footage off these cameras because, fingers crossed, we've got a very big guest on his way coming to see us soon.
Yeah,
done? We done?
That's news over.
News
Number
over.
News.
Subscribe, please, below. It's nice to see the subscription is growing on YouTube. If you've not yet gone to YouTube and watched what we're doing, go and and have a look. I mean, if you just enjoy listening to the podcast, you know, great. Thank you ever so much for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, but please just head over to YouTube and have a little look. Have a little look at what we're doing, because we're trying our best to kind of create a really nice little show here in this studio, and lots of little jazzy pictures behind us. So give us a little look, and while you're over there, click subscribe on the YouTube as well. If you don't know about what we're doing on TikTok, head over to there and give us a little subscribe over there. We put loads of little kind of clips and fun bits and bobs up over there, as we do as well on Instagram and X. So give us a follow on the socials, and I think I've exhausted everything else that's left in my head.
All right, bye guys.
Bye bye.